are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Rob alongside Miles, and together we have over 60 years experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. Each week, the two of us, or the three of us, if Tori's available, will provide a technical analysis of the metals and cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict the markets. So without further ado, Miles, can you pull up some charts and give us a recap of the last week?
I do have that technology. I love the little shot there at Tori, right across the bow. I know you're listening, Tori, and actually, I know Tori would rather be in the studio with us today, so we'll hopefully see you next week. With that being said, let's take a quick look at what the metals and the markets have done over the last week. Then we're going to dive into these movements, because a couple of them indicative of some things that we think may be around the corner. So, kicking it off with gold. Gold actually up about 1.25% since our recording last Wednesday. Good chunk of that here happening today on the heels of the Fed announcement, but still kind of locked in the sideways trading channel. So we'll look at the gold market here in a minute, but gold currently sitting at 4,230, up a little over 1%, as I mentioned on the week. Silver, on the other hand, up about 7.5%. So pretty big week in silver, putting in a new all-time high, I think just today, and currently sitting at $61.80. I think this time last year, Rob, silver was in the 20s still, maybe.
Oh my goodness.
Or at least the early low 30s. So heck of a ride on silver this year, and we'll certainly see if that's going to continue going forward. Just giving us an idea on what's going on in the greater industrial precious metals world. Platinum up about 1%, maybe a little under 1%, still sitting in the 1600s at 1660, and it feels like we've been at 1660 for a while now.
Well, we hit 1700 yesterday. It just didn't stay there. Yeah.
Just came back down then.
Yeah.
All right. So platinum trying desperately to push higher, as I think we all think it eventually will. So, and then sister metal to platinum, palladium, also up about 1%, although a little bit behind platinum and possibly starting to lose ground to platinum now at 1480, almost 200 bucks below platinum now at this point. The paper markets not doing too shabby either, with the S&P up about 0.5%, although really hasn't done much since Thanksgiving, but currently the S&P sitting at 6,895 points, and all predicated on the dollar, which was pretty much dead even for the week up until a couple hours ago when we had our Fed announcement with an interest rate decline. So now the dollar down about 0.3%, like 0.3%. Not a significant move down, but most of it happening here in the last couple hours and pushing back below the 100 mark, currently sitting at 98.6 on the dollar index. So, Rob, a couple things to talk about, both internationally here with the metals market. We can discuss the interest rate changes, where we think that's going. I know you've got some stuff you want to go into. Over in China, which is some potentially huge news for the precious metals market. So where do you want to start?
I know you mentioned that if gold is going to turn down more, it's going to happen now. And that's not uncommon for the end of the year as trading houses exit their positions and go flat. But on the heels of another even modest rate cut, maybe gold's going to stay at its current level and inch higher.
Yeah, we had a little bump up in gold today. Honestly, if you zoom the chart out and you look over the last month or two, you wouldn't even notice a rate cut today, just looking at where the price of gold's at. But the thing I'm really looking at here with the gold price is if we go back to the high we put in up around just shy of 4,400, I think we got to like 43, 82, 85, somewhere in there. And then the decline, we came back down. We did a 382 Fibonacci retracement. So we came back down about 38% of the recent rise. So middle of August, we're 3,300. By the middle of October, we're 1,100 bucks more. Pretty significant run in a short period of time. So saw about a third of that come back down. You know, we got back down to just under 4,000 and now it's climbing back up. So the reason I kind of put the note in about if we're going to turn down from here, it's got to happen soon, is because we're coming up on potentially double top territory. And there's no reason there needs to be a double top. It could just be a single top and then a breakthrough going out. So if we look at where we started that peak at 4,400 and we came all the way down to about 3,900. So on the flip side, we've come back up about as much as you would expect to right now if it's going to turn back down. You know, we could get a little bit more up and then it goes back down. But honestly, Rob, with the way the metals markets are going, I think we're falling into that same pattern we've been in for the last couple of years where you have this extended period of growth. And then everybody goes, okay, I'll wait for the pullback. But it doesn't pull back. It just kind of consolidates sideways for a few months.
Right. Just kind of.
And then we get another extended growth.
Yeah. And I think as I get into what I see happening internationally, that'll explain kind of what our thinking is.
And I think what we're seeing in the silver market hints at it as well. If we scoot over to the silver chart here over the same period of time, we're looking at silver coming into a high back around the middle of October at $54. And we were all ecstatic. Holy smoke, silver finally broke the 50 mark. It put in a real reasonable high.
Right.
It only took 45 years for that to happen. So it did finally happen. Now, we did have a deeper correction on the silver side. Gold a second ago on that chart, we saw gold make about a 382 fib correction, which is about a third of the retracement. Silver came down about half. So two steps forward, one step back. It came up. It gave us a double top. But then that double top didn't turn into a reversal, Rob. It turned into a cup and handle. And when you get that cup and handle, you get that third time it pushes back up against that high after very little down momentum. First time it touches a number, it pulls back pretty good. Second time, not so much. And the third time, it's like it wasn't even there to begin with. So now all of a sudden, silver's up another 10 bucks. And that happened pretty quickly.
It did. Yeah, just in the last week and a half, boom.
I think upwards of like 14% now for silver.
Not for the year, for the week, or last 2 weeks, let's say. And we're talking about silver, you know, the U.S. and India are the two countries, and England as well, who see silver as money, at least the people do. And there's something to talk about what India and China and Russia are in the middle of doing.
Yeah, you sent me over an article earlier to flip through. Tell me a little bit about India and Russia.
Well, it goes back to a constant topic that we've had, the BRICS countries wanting to move away from the dollar. It's called de-dollarization. And they had been accumulating precious metals, Russia, China, India, Saudi Arabia. You know, they definitely want to de-link as much as they can from the dollar. The dollar is still the primary high-quality liquid asset that's used in global trade and repurchase agreements and finance. China has expanded its physical acquisition of gold and silver, and they're transferring these holdings from their state-controlled exchanges into private and offshore vaults. They're establishing vaults in Asia, outside of China, in Africa, as well as in Saudi Arabia. And they're moving gold from just a reserve asset that is sold to bolster an individual currency to linking it with the Chinese renminbi so that the renminbi can now challenge the dollar among the BRICS countries. And to make gold into a high quality liquid asset like the dollar is their goal. And people ask, well, what's the future for gold? Well, the BRICS countries and their desire to de-dollarize as much as they can is the driving force behind what we see in the gold market. It's changing gold from just a reserve asset into money. However, let's take a look at a couple of examples so I can make this more clear. Last week, we talked about a U.S. online gold dealer offering to pay their clients 4% a year on their gold holdings. So you send your gold to this dealer and they pay you 4% a year. Who owns the gold?
Whoever that gold dealer is leasing it out to.
For that period of time.
For that period of time.
It's called a repurchase agreement. So technically, the client still owns the gold and they own the price action for the gold. If it goes up, the client doesn't have to sell it and they're able to turn their gold into income. But in my opinion, that defies the reason why my clients buy gold in the first place. I mean, my clients aren't trying to get rich by owning gold. They're just trying not to go broke.
Yeah, it's what we call counterparty risk.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Miles. So if you're holding gold because you have lost faith in the system, but then you try to turn your gold into income by giving up control of your gold to somebody else, that counterparty risk is a real thing. Mm-hmm. So it kind of defies the reason for owning gold in the first place. So what China and Russia, India and Saudi Arabia are attempting to do is to monetize gold again like it used to be 80, 90, 100 years ago. Which is great as long as you trust the people that you're giving your gold to.
So it sounds like they're almost setting up these like yuan and renminbi collateralized gold holding cells,
right,
and doing it nationwide. Because the big argument that I've had against the BRICS nations for years, because, you know, we've been getting the questions forever, like, is the Chinese yuan going to replace the dollar? Well, no. Are the BRICS going to invent a currency that replaces the dollar? And it's like, well, no. I think a lot of those questions come from very black and white thinking based in a Western ideology of the dollar is king. And it's not that the king doesn't have a council. There's been one king and everybody else is a peasant. And we're getting to the point where we're starting to see some of these additional competitive potential nations and currencies, economically competitive currencies, rise up in the ranks. Now, are they going to dethrone the dollar? 100%? No.
No. And you have to understand, if you take the gold holdings of the United States and all the other countries, you might be able to scrape up $5 trillion. I mean,
right,
the U.S. position is the largest in the world, and it's only a trillion compared to the international monetary system and the U.S. national debt and all the debt of all the other countries. You're talking well in excess of $100 trillion.
Yeah, if we're going to recollateralize all currencies to 100% gold backing, you're talking about what?
Oh.
$1 million gold prices?
Well, at least $60,000 gold price. And that's the thing. Will it ever get there? No, in my opinion, it will not. It's like I've always said, why do people do what they do? They do what they do because they want to. China and Russia and India and the rest of the BRICS nations are driven in this direction. And the only way that China can see its way forward to compete with our currency and our economy is through gold. So what is going to happen to the price of gold? I can tell you right now, they're not going to stop. Okay. Central bank acquisition of gold is not stopping. We are just at the beginning of this. What does that mean for the gold price? I don't know, but I know it's not going to stay where it is.
Yeah, and when we're getting into that type of situation, the dollar conversion price of gold to U.S. dollar, it's going to be what it is.
Right.
Like the number becomes irrelevant at that point because it could be anything. And you know what's interesting is that the Western world recognizes that this is happening too, at least from the top down. You know, as we're winding up 2025, I would say for me, one of the biggest things that happened this year was the massive amount of gold that left Europe and came not just to China. We've been talking about China buying gold for 20 years since I came to work here. What was amazing to me is the amount of gold that left Europe and came to the United States earlier this year.
Well, and I think that was because Trump threatened to audit the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
In Fort Knox. They're like, holy
Very
crap,
well
we better get
be.
It back here.
Yeah, because they were doing what some of those gold dealers are doing, right? We say we have, what, 8,800 tons or whatever.
8,100, yeah.
I bet you a chunk of that has been loaned out from time to time. And I bet you a good chunk of what was loaned out kind of never made its way back.
I think it depends on how much you trust the politicians. And that gets back to what I said earlier. What's the purpose for holding gold? Is it to get rich? Not in my opinion. Is it in case of the zombie apocalypse? Who knows? You know, that's not going to happen. Come on. But in the meantime, if you're owning gold because you have lost faith in the current financial system and the leadership of the world, yeah, you want to take delivery of it, or at least have it in a location where you can get your hands on it quickly.
So if we're seeing this rampant pickup in gold, what I think has been sort of the outlier in 2025 so far is the second half of 2025 and what's happened in the silver market. I think silver has been the outspoken champion of the precious metals for the first time in, gosh, since what, 2011, I think was the last time silver outperformed gold. And it didn't just beat gold, it beat the snot out of gold this year.
Right, but it's not in a short squeeze. And that's the question that we've gotten from clients.
Yeah, we have.
Are we in a short squeeze? Not even close.
Explain that and explain why.
Well, a short squeeze happens when people are short a given market and suddenly the market unexpectedly turns around the other way and starts going up and they have to cover their short positions. They are betting against the price and they bet wrong and now they have to buy it at a higher price and it squeezes that market beyond what it should have been, but they got caught. We saw that happening with some of the meme stocks a couple of years ago where they were aggressively shorting more shares of stock than Reddit had, or was it Reddit? You remember, Miles.
Well, it was Reddit. Reddit was the forum where this was taking place.
That's right. That's right.
That was where all the communication was happening. But no, you're looking at companies like GameStop and
GameStop,
prior to that Blockbuster, and you know, companies that they were looking at it going, how is this valued as high as it is? Because we know these particular businesses or industries are probably on the way out the door.
And they shorted more shares of stock than there were shares of stock than there were shares.
Like crazy.
Yeah, and then that created a short squeeze. Yeah, it was insane. So we're not there with silver yet.
Yeah, I think the next question is why and what does that look like? And I think one thing that we like to take a look at pretty regularly, I don't check it every week, but every couple
commitment
of weeks,
traders,
just
to,
the Commitment to Traders report. And the precious metals markets, gold and silver, have both been exceptionally long for the last number of months, which was expected given the rises that we've had in both metals here over the last couple of months. So, yeah, you would be seeing some very significantly different numbers coming out of the CME group if that were the case, and we're just not seeing it. So part of that could be, you know, we did have a 10% rise last week. The CME group, the commodity exchange, did have a nefarious or incompetence, I'm not sure, but they had a database failure over the previous weekend. And lo and behold, silver's up 10% on Monday morning. And there was a fair argument last week that, okay, it was a reactionary trade. Everything's back to normal. Silver's going to come back down. And nope,
it went up.
It just kept going.
Well, and the interesting thing too, and we talked about this in our pre-show meeting, flipping a switch just for a second, going back to gold. It looks like the rest of the world, besides the United States and Europe, are re-monetizing gold like it was 100 years ago. So as things begin to break down, the whole world's turning to gold, only we haven't figured that out yet.
And silver's going to be the poor man's gold as it always was.
Yeah.
When small money catches up with big money, small money tends to do it in smaller ways. And I think that's why you're starting to see things like, you know, you brought this up a week or two ago where India is now allowing a certain amount of silver to be used as borrowing collateral.
Right. So you don't have to sell the silver to come up with cash as collateral. The silver itself can be collateral.
Mm-hmm.
But the Central Bank of India and the Central Bank of Russia and the Central Bank of China are accumulating silver. And I don't remember the last time I could have said that.
Yeah, that's big. And looking at a lot of that silver coming out of the U.S., and we've been talking about this as a metals dealer, anywhere in the dealer market, one of the biggest appetite for things like, say, junk silver over the last handful of months was refineries. Because they were melting it down and casting it into bars so they could ship the bars back over to Europe, over to Asia. Well, the refineries kind of said, okay, our plate's full. We've got enough product to keep the smelters going for the next handful of months. We're kind of done buying for a while. And the silver market just capitulated. So you saw some pretty big spreading of buy and sell pricing in a couple silver products because one of the biggest buyers of silver said enough's enough, at least for the next few months. And there was a big expectation that here in the U.S., we were going to see silver start to kind of top out. But I think we're all kind of realizing that the U.S. may be the biggest fish in the pond, but we're not the only fish in the pond.
And you can buy junk silver for $2.50 an ounce cheaper than 1,000-ounce bars right now.
And practically melt value delivered, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
And still the case. It's been that case for the last couple of weeks because there's a lot of product availability and a lot of people were kind of relying on being able to feed the refinery machines. And they're not going to get to do that for a couple months. So, and silver keeps going. And lo and behold, what has finally happened to the gold-silver ratio? We're sub 70.
We broke 70. Mm-hmm. What are we, 68, 69 right now?
Yeah, 68, 69 at the moment right now.
So, from 104 back in the spring. So if we're looking at $68 silver, maybe it's a chance for some of the clients that were buying silver at 104 to ounces of silver to gold. Maybe they have an opportunity to convert some of that back into gold.
Yeah, and I've got a couple clients who've already done that. You know, measured, we still think it's going to go further. It may not happen tomorrow. You know, we could very well get a silver correction here. Maybe the ratio jumps back up to 80, 85. It could happen.
It does.
It's going to start trending that direction, and it could take 9 months. It could take a handful of years, but we're very likely going to see those ratios down in the sub 60s, maybe even sub 50s by the time this is all said and done. Yeah. And if you're looking at sitting on a massive silver position, let's say silver is 50, 60, 70% of your total metals percentage, you might consider starting to allocate some of that silver into gold, take small wins, you know, baby step your way back out of the silver, but still hang on to a decent position should it go lower. So I've got some clients that have gone ahead and, you know, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. You don't want to be greedy, but you do want to be patient. And there is a middle ground to where you can kind of slowly start piecing out of your silver into gold, pick up some free ounces of gold, but maintain a bit of a silver position should it continue further.
Well, this is an interesting week. I can't wait to see what we come up with next week. But from technical and fundamental, this market, it's going higher, buddy.
Yeah, I definitely think it is. So, and still just shocked we didn't get our winter pullback. Maybe we'll get a spring pullback. Maybe this will be out of 20 years.
There's not
going to
be a spring pullback. Maybe end
maybe
of
January.
Year, beginning, maybe January, but that's about it. I mean, I really don't see this slowing down because the other half of the world are very motivated and they are moving forward.
Yeah, and if we slow down, it's going to look like the last couple of slowdowns. You know, if that's the case, we're looking at, if the gold price goes lower than it did a couple weeks ago, it's very unlikely going to be much more than it did. But I think best case scenario, we get some sideways trading in here before we, you know, reload and get ready for the next move up. Same with silver. I think we could see some sideways trading in here. But, you know, eventually that argument does go out the window. You know, it just takes one event, Rob. I don't know how many you've seen through your career, but in mine, there have been a couple. The 2008 stock market crash, the real estate issues back in like 2014, 2015, which caused the gold bear market to turn bullish. COVID caused a capitulation in the markets. Like, something is going to pull the investing power of the general public in mass away from the thing they're not scared of yet. Something is going to happen elsewhere that's going to cause the general public to flood into the precious metals market. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I showed the history of gold from 2001 to 2011. It's the same pattern over and over again, and we haven't had that capitulation moment yet. So no, I agree with you. Gold's nowhere near done.
Yeah. And that's going to do it for this week's Golden Rule Radio. Miles, take us out, buddy.
All righty. Well, appreciate the time again, Rob, and everybody out there listening. This has been Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on Twitter. We're at ICA Gold, or Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. If you're listening on the radio, you can always catch the charts that we go through on the show. That can be found on our website at McIlvaney.com/radio. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal precious metals portfolio with one of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals, you can give us a call. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week.